You are listening to the oneofus.net podcast network. One of Us is a podcast and video network funded all but entirely by donations and subscriptions. We do accept pitches for audio-based or banner ads, but on a case-by-case basis. If you're interested in that, contact us at oneofusnet@gmail.com. With the amount of audio and video content we generate, it is expensive and extremely time-consuming to keep things running. Please go to the webpage oneofus.net and sign up for a subscription at $2, $5, $10, or $25 and get a ton of bonus content. One of Us needs and appreciates all your support.
Do you love sci-fi, horror, and fantasy films? Then grab a badge for Otherworlds Film Festival, the country's premier sci-fi film festival. There'll be Q&As, panels, parties, and mixers. Rub elbows with up-and-coming and established filmmakers, as well as like-minded filmgoers. Come celebrate our 7th year, December 3rd through 6th, at the Galaxy Highland in Austin, Texas. Badges are now for sale at OtherworldsFilmFest.com. That's OtherworldsFilmFest.com.
So I like watch a lot of horror movies, and I don't care. I'll watch any kind. I mean, it doesn't really matter. Like torture porn, sure, but put it in front of me. Old Italian crazy giallo stuff, yep, absolutely. Weird doofy stuff with a bunch of teenagers who are incredibly stupid getting killed off by a mass killer, put it in. But the one thing that always tends to get to me in a way that I actually kind of feel scared and disturbed are things that tap into some pretty damn primal fears. Because there's nothing primal fear to me about Jason Voorhees. And even Freddy Krueger, he's too silly to feel like a real primal fear. But when you start talking about, you know, it's entirely possible people you love in your life's minds will deteriorate in front of you, and if you're related to them, there's a good chance that that's a sign that'll happen to you as well. Yeah, that freaks me out, man. Thinking about that shit really freaks me out.
Yeah, this is horror in the sense that every existential thought that you've been trying to bury deep down into your mind is also completely horrifying.
Dementia times the book House of Leaves. All right, yeah, it was Adrian. Say hi, Adrian.
Hello.
Luane is here.
Hey, how's it going?
And Jordan Cobb.
Hello, everybody.
We are reviewing the movie Relic, which is dropping in theaters and on VOD July 10th. This actually comes from the Russo brothers of both Community and, of course, all the Captain America and the last two Avengers films. The Russo brothers production company, as along with Jake Gyllenhaal, for some reason, seems kind of arbitrarily attached to it as well, is from a first-time feature filmmaker, Natalie Erica James, although she's certainly worked on a lot of shorts and has worked on other people's films as well. She's Japanese-Australian. And it's interesting that all this went into all this, these big name production company and Gyllenhaal and stuff, went into this person with really not much in the way of proper experience or really, from as near as I could tell, any real experience with getting to know anybody big like that in the industry. But I can't help but think they were just attracted to arguably the quality of the script. The story, Emily Mortimer, her daughter is Sam, played by Bella Heathcote. Emily's mother, Sam's grandmother, Edna, is Old, played by Robin Nevin, by the way, who you don't know. She's an Australian actress who's a lifetime theater actress who's won all sorts of awards out of Sydney. She's getting old. She has just disappeared. And they're like, what the fuck? They go to her big old house. Nobody knows what happened to her. And then one day she just shows up. And she's like, what? I don't know what you're talking about. Everything is fine. What is going on with that? Well, everything's not fine because she's going through weird, crazy mood swings and she forgets who people are. She's going through the mid stages of dementia, rather rapid downslide into it. And that alone is really kind of terrifying. But when you add to that the fact that she's getting these mysterious large bruises that appear on her and she talks about something that's in the room or under the bed or that's following her and large black water stains appearing more and more around the house seemingly decaying as quickly as Edna is. And then maybe something even more on top of that. Maybe there's something to the house in and of itself that reflects what's going on inside of Edna's mind. This is Relic, brought to you from IFC Midnight. And this review is brought to you by oneofus.net. Hello, I'm Chris. Let's talk about this motherfucker.
I'll just start off. I absolutely love this movie. this being a horror story that's on a more visceral level, I'm especially attracted to that, and especially over the past few years since Australia, let's be honest, has become a hotbed for great horror productions, you know, ever since The Babadook. This is absolutely one of my favorite films of this year right now. It is,
wow.
It is such a great film. I love the story.
I liked it a lot, but I didn't love it.
Damn you, Adrian!
Son of a
you
bitch!
You foiled Jordan Cobb again!
I'm happy that I finally get to add a third picture to my double feature of Hereditary and The Babadook.
Right.
Strong
female-led psychological horror films that deal with very real-to-life dreads that are slowly paced but beautifully shot.
And completely atmospheric. They make a lot of work out of their setting. The home is fantastic, the way that it's designed and what it ends up kind of turning into over time. I also kind of felt like pretty decent Silent Hill movie while not being, you know, Silent Hill. The way that the house started to decay, and not just is it about dementia, but kind of like your inner demon coming out. I thought this was pretty cool, but I kind of enjoy this more as a drama than I do a horror movie.
Luann, you've got to be the tiebreaker here. Is it awesome and unassailable, or is it really good but assailable?
It's a really good drama and a really good horror movie. From a technical standpoint, it looks great, it sounds great, it's creepy, it's atmospheric. All of the horror things are there, and all of the drama things are there. Any real issues I have with this movie are personal issues, not with the movie itself, with certain elements of dealing with Gran.
Do you mean, like, in ways it relates to your own life that you found disturbing or inaccurate?
Uncomfortable. You know how in a lot of horror movies, particularly like slasher movies, you're like, oh, don't do that, or don't go in there, or, you know, you're yelling at the people, but you know they're doing the thing that they have to do for the things to move ahead?
Sure.
I kind of was doing that when they were interacting with Gran.
Mm-hmm.
Like, don't do that. Okay, I know she's lucid right now, but she's not going to be in 20 minutes. You have to stop acting like she's going to be okay.
Well, that's the whole thing, is that I think that these are two people completely in denial about the situation that they're in. They are refusing to accept that this woman is going through a serious, like moving into the late stages of dementia. They refuse to accept this is happening at all. And one of the reasons is, because as the movie starts to establish, it's because they're really afraid of what that means for themselves.
Exactly. That's a very human reaction to see someone that you absolutely love have this happen to. And then you start to think, well, you know, we basically share the same genetics. I'm worried now about what this is going to happen to me and what will possibly happen to my daughter. And yet, regardless of what genre you really want to define it as, Emily Mortimer does an absolute great job in this role. I really loved her performance because it did feel honest. It felt believable.
Oh, yeah. The whole cast is solid. They all turn in a great performance.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have to have strong actors for this sort of thing. It is really a three-person show on the whole. There's some people who appear very briefly in here otherwise, but it's those three ladies running this entire movie.
And I was really happy to see Bella Heathcote, because the only other thing I had seen her in was Professor Marsden and The Wonder Woman. Another movie.
Good movie.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. She also knocked it out the park here, trying to be this middle ground in between her mother and her grandmother, where, you know, she really does still love her grandmother and wants to help, but, you know, she's also trying to at best keep on her mom's side, feeling conflicted at certain points about, well, we gotta put her in a home, well, let's not put her in a home, and so on.
There's a big conflict that's going on with the mom, who's like, obviously she can't take care of herself properly anymore, but still going, I don't want to go so far as to say she's going through this serious condition, but she's too old to take care of herself.
Yeah.
And the daughter, who's always known, you know, Gran, as she calls her, is like, no, that's my grand-gran, you can't do that to grand-gran, you know what I mean. She's like, she's in even more denial than the mom is there. So that's creating tension between those two characters. What's interesting about this film is, like you guys were saying, a lot of this is really more of a character drama with little elements of horror. When it gets into the third act, it full on becomes a horror movie, but one that is so overtly just a metaphor for the drama that's happening, for the sense of those things, the idea of fear of dementia, fear in your loved ones, fear of hereditary dementia. I mean, everything about that's happening is just so overtly that allegory and not really necessarily something that you would have to take as actual events, but you could if you wanted to too. But it is super creepy, especially if you find yourself starting to think about this and how this relates to your own life. There are times when the metaphor is more effective than someone just showing you the thing. I always say that's the strength of fantasy, horror, and sci-fi. When it's looked at as art and being treated as art, it can achieve things with emotions that just showing you the real life version of something wouldn't necessarily have that effect. And I think the sense of creeping dread and decay that the house represents and its claustrophobia really effectively gets that across.
When the movie was first kind of introducing us to everything, I was like, I can't understand the geography of this house. The rooms don't make sense. The house can't possibly be this big based on the exterior that we see. And then as you get further along, you realize, oh, this isn't a literal house. Or right. It's also representative of everything else. Some of these rooms that are super neat and tidy, and these other ones that are just crammed full of junk.
Yeah, pretty much like an episode of Hoarders. You mentioned the third act. That's where I think the movie does really start to shine, because we have had this slow tension, this deliberate pacing. Honestly, the movie's only like about 90 minutes, but there are some held onto shots that really don't make this movie feel dragged out at all. And yeah, when that third act happens, where the metaphor becomes a little bit more overt, it honestly works in that regard. And this is one of the few horror movies recently where I felt the tension. There were a couple moments watching this where I did actually jump. For me, that's a good benchmark of any modern horror film nowadays. Like, if you're actually able to get that visceral reaction out of me, you're doing something right.
There is a jump scare that has no, like, there's no music sting. There's no cat jumping out. It's a very simple jump scare, and it scared the shit out of me. I was shook. I haven't been that affected by a jump scare in a while.
Yeah, meanwhile, the Cat Actors Union is all, like, sending their representative to the studio. We noticed you had this jump scare in here, and there was no cat. Our contract with your studio clearly says that
another for every jump scares,
there's got to be a cat that goes, meow!
But the reason I like this way more as a drama than a horror movie is because there's no real mystery as to, at least for me, as to what's going on. Whereas something like, I hate to keep referencing these, but Babadook and Hereditary, you can kind of form your own opinion of, okay, I think this is what the overall message is about. I think this is kind of where it's going. This is very, very clearly about dementia and how that might affect further generations of your family, which is not so much a bad thing, but it was so clear where this was kind of going that I didn't find myself scared, but I was definitely invested.
That's fair. I mean, that topic alone completely, my mind wants to just turn away from it. You know, I just don't even want to consider it. The idea of your brain stopping working properly. And I think that for me was enough where this film is investigating it with people who don't want to think about it either, and doing it in a way that is symbolically representative, but in a way that's clear that's what they're talking about. That being said, one of the minor problems I had with this film was towards the end, there's a thing that happens on the horror side of it. There's an action that happens between the two main characters that is, in terms of like a horror drama, is very visually fascinating and it's emotionally satisfying, but I'm not sure what the fuck it meant in the context of the allegory at all.
Are you talking about the sort of body horror stuff at the end?
Yeah, at the very end.
That I was like, well, I'm gonna go with it, but
it's cool. It works aesthetically completely, but when you're thinking of it as everything else being so overtly an allegory for dementia, then that was where it kind of made me go, okay, so you're saying something, I just don't know what it is.
I feel like I kind of understood what they were going for without saying it at all, but I didn't have a problem with it. Actually, I really, really dig the ending. I thought the last 15 minutes of the movie is fantastic.
Well, let's go to final thoughts. Adrian, take us into it.
hey, man, this was okay. No, this was a really well-shot horror movie. It is stunning. Every single camera shot feels like you're at the POV of something watching the characters, and you don't know what it's going to be. But then halfway through it, you do know what it's going to be. You know exactly where this is going. And that's not so much a bad thing, because this movie has a message and it delivers on that message through and through. The acting is fantastic. Emily Mortimer, I've always loved seeing her as like a character actor. So it's kind of cool seeing her as the lead in this. She's fantastic in this. A very kind of like timid performance until she has to get angry and get loud. And Bella Heathcoff, I thought she was American, because the only thing I've seen her in was Neon Demon, where she plays this vapid Paris Hilton type character. So seeing her in this was really cool. She seems like a real person. We've been seeing a lot of horror movies, and I've been having problems with people just not seeming like real people, and this is effective because it feels very real. That's why it feels like more of a drama to me, because I feel like I'm watching someone's tragic family tragedy, and it works so well on that level. But if you're thinking this is going to be a haunted house movie or something along the lines of, I don't know, a Blumhouse film, you're going to be kind of disappointed. Going to this knowing this is going to be an artful, slow burn, tragic horror, and with that mindset, you'll probably dig it. It's got a lot of good things going for it. I just was not in love with it. So I'm going to give this a strong 3.5 grandma butts out of 5.
Loane?
I think I agree with Adrian in a lot of this. I think from a technical standpoint, this is fantastic. The performances are great. Any issues I have with this, I think, are probably more with me than with the film itself. And dear God, please let Natalie Erica James, the director, please let her make more movies.
Oh, yeah.
Because let's be honest, if we weren't concerned about spoilers and we were just sitting around, we could probably spend an hours talking about this movie. There's so much in it. And I love seeing that in any movie. But I especially love it in horror movies, which still, despite all the work that's gone into them, get this reputation for being cheap knockoff movies. And so, smart, scary, uncomfortable horror films, please make more of those. That's great. I'm willing to go with the ending because I'm okay not having a concrete answer. Overall, I'm going to say 3.5 out of 5 rooms full of just crazy shit.
Jordan!
I am absolutely in love with this movie. You two bring up so many things that I'd just be repeating. Yes, it is stunningly done in cinematography, deliberately paced. This movie is only about 90 or so minutes, but it actually knows how to have a slow tension build and actually properly hold on a shot for as long as it needs to. The performances by Emily Mortimer, Bella Heathcote, and Robin Nevin are the pillars of this movie, as is Natalie Erica James, who, yes, I do hope to see more work out of. This is a incredible feature film debut. This movie creeped me out, it scared me, and it really made me think a lot about life and how things go. And yes, this is one of my absolute favorite films of this year so far, and also one of my favorite endings too. I really did love the ending because, yeah, I don't want answers all the time. Sometimes it's best not to have everything explained. So I didn't think I'd be doing this so early into my run here on the site, but you know what? Fuck it. 10 out of 10 haunted family heirlooms.
I read several different people's reviews of this, and it was surprising how different, although everyone in general seemed to like it, everybody had slight different things that either bugged them about it or slightly different takes. It was really fascinating to fall down that rabbit hole of the way different people personalize the aspects of this film. But one thing I kept seeing come up again and again, and I was thinking about this too, was that there is a certain amount of horror tropiness in this film that feels a mildly out of place with the type of art horror that it is. Now, I don't mean corny, just a couple setups that are like, for the type of movie you're doing, this feels like it belongs in a different type of horror movie. And it doesn't ruin it or anything. It made the tone of the piece a little off for me, a little less than perfect, which is fine, ultimately, because I like both types of films that they were playing with. They just never quite completely meshed together to the level in which I think that the director was hoping that they were going to be able to create. But if she was going to go either way, I want to do a straight out balls to the wall horror film, or I'm going to do disturbing character drama, I think she'd be fantastic at both, as this movie clearly shows. Great performances across the board. I think fans of arthouse horror will really dig it. I am certainly going to say that it is in the same category of type of art horror as The Hereditary or The Babadook, but I don't think it ever reaches the heights of either one of those films in terms of like across the board quality. But we get so few films of this type of horror that are as good as they are that, man, we should just be really happy about every single one that we get. I'm going to give this 8 out of 10 times I pictured a contractor coming in and saying, well, you see all the water damage you got back here in the endless hallways that keep going? That's going to set you back a pretty penny.